Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 414 shows this evening. I want to welcome everyone aboard, all you new listeners. I hope you enjoy the show. Keep coming back, spreading the word. And all you returning listeners, can't thank you all enough for all of your support and making these shows a total success. All the amazing former guests, the listeners, and the callers that's calling in. But I want to thank all of you. We're going to keep going because I'm relentless and proactive and optimistic because I'm not going to give up and keep these shows going. Over 9 years now, and it's a great plus. And our animal friends in need and distress, we are their only voices to get changes made, everyone. So we have to step up to the plate and to make them phone calls or write emails, write letters, make appointments with our state legislators and get the ball rolling for better lives and futures for all of our animal friends in need and distress. I just want to go over a couple things. My name is Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear. Mama Bear does care because she is on the air. So I hope everyone, when you're tuning in tonight, thank you all for tuning in. And I'm going to be taking calls at the end, you know, towards the middle of the show. And that phone number, and it's the same every Thursday, is area code 310-982-4270. Press 1 and you'll be in the queue, okay, to alert me that you want to speak on air. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, and conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. You can also call in from Skype also. You can listen to this show from the internet, www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescareforanimals, or you go to the shows coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, and that's www.ppjg.me. And once you get there, it'll say listen live here. Press that, and it'll lead you right to Blog Talk Radio. All these shows are archived, so you can listen and share 24/7, okay? So in case you come in late or if you miss it or you want to go back, they're always there on the right-hand column of the PPJ Gazette. Just search Voices Care for Animals or Animal Advocates Radio. And bring up all the links and which one you want to listen to. Press the arrow, wait a minute to download, and it will play. And also on Blog Talk Radio, you can follow my podcast on either the Blog Talk Radio, under the logo, it'll say follow, put your email address in, and it will alert you every time there's an upcoming broadcast, and also on the PPJ Gazette. This is going to be another great show this evening, inviting a guest back, and I got some great news, everyone. Tuesday, I announced it the other night, I did a special call to action show for the Humane Society of the United States, Equine Protection, that on Tuesday, October the 10th, between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern, I will be on the podcast that's called Why Do Pets Matter with Deborah Hamilton, and give her a big shout out because she's going to be coming on my podcast, and that's what I call teamwork. But I will be, if you follow my page or go to Voices Carry for Animals support group on Facebook, I'm going to be posting the info on there, the link to listen to it, or if you want to go back and listen to it, because it's going to be archived. So me and Deborah is going to be rocking the airways for the animals on Tuesday, okay? So hope everybody can join in, listen in, and I want to just go over a couple things. A big shout out to Gary Bowden of All About Animals Radio. He's a producer, and he is a great team player together. One of his hosts, Erica Salvamino, I will be on their podcast on October the 24th, which is a Tuesday, from 1 p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. So giving a big shout out to Erica, team player. I mean, super team players, you know, helping the animals out in need and distress and working together, host to host, coast to coast, speaking out all together for all the animals in need. So I'm looking forward to that show too. And she will be coming on next week. She'll be coming on my show. So I want to welcome her aboard, and she's all excited and I'm excited. So we're going to make it happen. You know, it takes teamwork to see any victories, but I want to welcome my guest back, Beth Frank. She's the president at Community Cats United. And she's out there working hard and helping the community cats, because all lives matter, everyone, including all the animals. We can't just ignore them or you know, close our eyes. It's not right. They deserve to live comfortably just like we do and all other animals. But I'm going to bring her on live and welcome her back. Our topic tonight, ninth year celebration of Community Cats United. 100,000 members, including in all 50 U.S. states and 127 countries. This is just wonderful, and congratulations, Beth, and the Community Cats United. How are you this evening, Beth? You're live and on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for having me back.
No problem. It's always my pleasure. There's no limit.
<That's>
the
good.
More exposure, the better. You know,
absolutely.
That's how I look at it.
Our cats really need exposure and help, so that's a good thing.
That's right, you know, because their lives matter, and they need to live, you know, comfortably, not ignored. And because, you know, there are furry friends out there, they need our attention, they need our help, because we're their only hope to carry on, you know, make lives better for them and their futures. But you want to go ahead and tell the audience a little, you know, refresh their memory on how you got started, and then we'll get into the topic of, you know, what we're going to be talking about this evening, TNR, which is what the clinics support our members in whatever area of cat rescue and advocacy they volunteer within. But go right ahead. You can go and go ahead and speak.
Well, we started back in 2014 in September, and the idea was to build a coalition of support and sharing information and that sort of thing between people who do TNR. It always seems like through the years TNR people are overlooked, and they don't get the recognition they deserve. These people do this TNR, which is trapping humanely a cat that lives on the street, and taking it into a clinic, usually a clinic, getting them fixed. They get a vaccination for rabies. They get an ear tip to mark that they have been fixed. And then after recovery, they are returned back to their home, which is outside. And these people, most of the people doing TNR are individuals. They pay out of their own pocket, and they take their own time to do this. Many of them feed these cats, and they pay for it out of their own pocket. And yet it seems like there's so much opposition to cats, these cats especially, and to these people that they have to face all the time. And it's not right. It's time things changed, and we recognize these people and appreciate what they're doing and being good citizens in our communities.
That's right. You know, whatever we can do. And Beth, back in March, I took in a stray cat was under a year old, you know, from a friend of mine who was feeding outside. And her daughter is allergic to cats, so she had asked me if I could put it on social media to get her adopted because she was worried that she's going to hit by car or, you know, get eaten by wildlife. And I said, okay, what I'll do is bring the carrier, check her out and everything. And then she asked me, do you think you might know somebody who would want to take her in? And I said, yeah. And she says, who? I go, me. And she named her Liberty. And she's adorable. I mean, she thinks she hit the Florida Mega Millions.
She did.
Yes, she did. And then I got Victory, who was adopted back in January, you know. And they get along. They're inseparable. They are so awesome. They love hanging out together, and you know, it's so heartwarming to see that, to see them in a TLC home, you know, where they're being loved and cared for and fed and need to take the vet when necessary, and they're happy. That's what I want to see, all animals happy, you know, TLC homes. That's what they deserve. They're our furry loved ones. Once
yes.
they walk through that door, there are furry loved ones. So there's so many cats out there that's homeless, and it's sad. They shouldn't be. I mean, it's like spay and neuter the pets, you know, adopt, don't shop. And let's get this problem, because there's so millions of healthy, adoptable animals put down a year because of overcrowding. And that's sad, you know. So
yes.
everyone, you know, that's... We have to work on that, because we don't want to see it going out, you know, year after year, decade after decade, and we still have the same issues. You know, something's got to give here, because they need homes. You know, more
yes.
adoption events that, you know, are affordable, you know, and help these animals out. We are their only voices. So we have to do more. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. When we started out, you know, the big issue I saw at the time was getting communities and cities and counties to accept TNR, to allow it to be done within their areas. And there was such a pushback on that. I think now today things have changed, and TNR is much more widely acceptable. In 9 years that's happened. But the issue now that's really facing the cats, in my opinion, is managed intake and what is going on with shelters that are big national groups led the shelters to put into place these managed intake policies. That affected the cats more than the dogs, but lately, since COVID, the dogs have been getting hit with, you know, there's no room at the inn kind of thing too. But the cats, I did research on it, and I found ties back to like 2007, where managed intake was put in place. That was between the ASPCA and the Oregon Humane Society. So this is nothing new, and we can't blame COVID for what's happening with the cats especially. You know, every year shelters were part of managed intake is, you know, you're not going to take in as many animals as need help. But that really hit the cats, and the messaging was that these cats can do fine on the street, they can live out there, and so don't worry about bringing them to shelter because it's not a good environment for cats, and we end up killing them in the shelters. Well, I don't think shelters are a good environment for dogs either, but we don't shut the door to them like we have cats. And this whole thing has just kept going and going until COVID hit, and I think it really came to a head with COVID. But by leaving the cats out in the streets, yes, they can survive, but is that the life they really deserve? We can't do any better than that. You know, what does that say about us? And the bad thing about it is what you said before about spay and neuter. They are not fixed. Most of these cats out there are not fixed at all. And they're just reproducing and reproducing. And now we have shelters not taking in cats, so we have more cats on the street, and then more cats are being born. And it's just blowing up. And it's just, I don't get it. I don't get why we didn't focus on spay and neuter years ago. Instead, we focused on transporting and doing managed intake, when the common thing, common sense thing to do was just spay and neuter animals. In the New England states, for several years, like 10 years, they focused on spay and neuter. And now when animals are being transported out of states that don't push spay and neuter, so many of them go to New England states because they have openings, or they did have, because they focused on spay and neuter and they did the right thing. And if it can work there, why can't it work in the rest of the United States? Why can't we focus on spay and neuter? And many of the, you know, the big shelters and the big national organizations, they will push and talk about spay and neuter. But it's time to stop talking, and it's time to put our money where our mouths are, and let's start funding spay and neuter. When you're taking in the donations, especially that these big national groups take in, they should be the leaders in this spay and neuter movement, and they have never been. So we need to change things, and it's going to change at some point, but how many animals are going to have to die before we get to that point?
That's right. That's a lot of animals per year, Beth, you know, and it's sickening, you know, all ages too. That it's like, why, you know, cats, dogs, whatever, because of overcrowding. I know in my news feed on Facebook, or whether it's Twitter, you know, LinkedIn, I see these animals on death row, and it's so heartbreaking, especially when they said killed, or, you know, I want to see him safe or adopted or fostered, something. And a big shout out to all these cross posters out there that work relentlessly to help save their lives and get him to safety. You know, it's like a big a vicious cycle that's going on. So we have to be a part of the solutions, not the ongoing problems. You know, us human beings are the roots of all problems. It's not the animals. How can we blame them? We can't.
We can't. But people do with cats. I mean, you know, they mistreat them. They try to poison them when they're around outside. They shoot them. They just do horrible things to these cats. These cats don't want to be there any more than we want them there. But we're the only ones that can change this.
That's right. We can't give up or bring the negative into the positive, because it can be done. You know, we have to work harder to get these issues in the spotlight with everyone and do something about it. And let's hear some good news that the you know, these kill shelters are killing less cats and dogs because people are listening and taking action. Taking action is the key. Not be all talk, no action. We have to be all action, less talk, you know, because that's the only way we're going to get anywhere.
I would like to see the shelters focus on animals, dogs and cats, and not on live release rates, and so that they can call themselves no kill. What do those words mean when you have animals dying on the streets because you didn't take them in, so you didn't have bad outcomes? It's crazy. These animals that don't get in the door, they have just as much right to opportunity for another, you know, family to live with and all this. Who selects who lives and who dies? We should be helping them all. And the only way we're going to get out of this is through spay and neuter. All these other things like transporting and managed intake, they're Band-Aids. The only way to stop this is to turn down the reproductive faucet.
That's right. That's the solution right there. You know, people's got to get involved and take care of business. And so we can see these shelters that's killing these dogs and cats massively decrease. We like to see it go down to zero, but it's not going to happen. I mean, if it massively decrease, and these are healthy animals and gets adopted,
yes.
And, you know, it's going to make us feel good. It's like with this radio platform, it's not the only thing I do to help out the animals. I try in every angle. You know, Howard, you're looking at 414 shows, Beth. What does that tell you? That it doesn't stop. You know, I see the victories, do the victory dance, but it makes me keep going. I multitask. Whatever I can help out with, you know, outside of this radio. So that makes me feel good. I take my anger into action. And that way, I keep going and keep spreading the word, because I can't just keep it to myself when I'm doing. I get on social media. Like it's this landing strip where all of us come together. Hey, press that share. The angry or the happy face or whatever, the laughing face, that's no justice. Okay, so
right.
Once you put it in the news feed, you know, and I know that I'm in tons of groups on there, and I admin on different groups and pages and everything. But what I love to see is more shares on there, because, you know, some people I notice they come join a group and then they disappear and you never see them or hear from them, you know.
Right.
So that's not really helping the animals out. That's just pressing, you know, member of a group or a like of a page. There's so much you could do to, you know, just like your Facebook page, if you give that out, go there, see how they can help out there, you know, not just like and leave. Okay, see how they can, and then they can share it. You can invite friends from the upper right-hand corner. And there's so much everyone could do, because there's millions and millions of people in this world. It's not thousands, it's millions. So if we get, you know, more people motivated and dedicated to it, we're going to see more positive results. Because,
and I think,
you know,
education of people, even the ones in the animal field, you know, whether you're an employee or whether you're a volunteer, education of what's really happening is so important. And when shelters close their doors to animals, where do those animals go? If you're a cat, there's a good chance that you're going to end up out on the street. But the rescues are being asked to step up. And they're already at max capacity. How much more can rescues do? They don't have a budget like a shelter where they can, their name recognition, and they can easily raise funds. Or if you're a public shelter, you get government funding. These rescues have none of that. You see them all the time on Facebook pleading for, we found this dog, we found this cat, Hesco the vet, we need money. They have to continue to beg and beg and beg. And, you know, the idea is we're all partners in this fight to help animals. So we all have to have a seat at the table. And there's no dictators here. It's not that the bigs can come in and say, this is what you do. It's not the shelters that say that. Everybody gets a seat at this table, and let's talk about what is really going on, and let's find a way to fix it.
That's right. Working on the solutions, not the ongoing problems, and ignoring them. It's you know, like I said, it's a revolving door that doesn't stop. It keeps happening. Let's see some changes. We need changes bad. I mean, I'm not doing these shows just to blow out steam. You know, if we don't take action, Beth, these shows are a waste of time, you know, so we're just blowing out steam. So everyone, please, I can't change everything. I can't change anything. I have to have an army, a village to help me, you know, so all of your help is much appreciated. You know, whatever you could do, every effort counts out there. So we have to think about that, because if we do nothing, nothing changes. You know,
exactly.
So that's, changes don't happen on its own. Wake up the next day, hey, the killings in the shelters have massively decreased. We're not going to see that unless we work at it. You know,
and
it's still not going to happen overnight. And demand it. That's right. Yep.
Yes.
I totally agree. That's right. Demand it.
And if anybody's out there that wants to discuss this with me, I can be reached on Facebook. You can email me at communitycatsunited@yahoo.com. Let's talk about it. Let's find out what we can do to change this.
That's right. Discuss it, because it needs to happen. You know, a teamwork comes in. You know, strong leaders, Beth, and strong supporters equal strong victories. You know, we all work at it. And if there's enough of us, you know, we the people have a lot of power if there's enough of us. But
yes.
If we don't, we're only spinning our wheels.
And
that's the
one
sad
thing,
part.
The one thing
yep.
we've said since the beginning is strength in numbers. You know, one person doing TNR, one person rescuing, that's very important. But the voice is not listened to. But when you take and combine 100,000 of these people, now you've got a voice people will listen to.
That's right, because in over 9 years of having Community Cats United, everyone in, over 100,000 members? That's a lot of members. You
especially
know,
for a
states.
Community cat group, you know.
Right. It shows you that, hey, there's more people out there that care that we really thought didn't. So that's surprising there, and congratulations again over 9 years. I just celebrated my 9 years in June.
Yeah.
You know? So we were starting up together.
That's
Isn't
right.
That wonderful? Yeah.
And didn't even know each other.
No. because I remember the first time you came on air was you and Ray Bittner, Mama Cat, was
yep.
in 2018. Isn't that something?
Wow.
So that was 5 years ago. Time flies.
Yeah,
and
it does.
So we're not going to stop here, because there's no limit of how many times you come on the show, because I believe in the more exposure and awareness, the better for everyone. You know, hey, out there, tell your, you know, family members, your friends, your sons, daughters, neighbors, coworkers, you know, the list goes on, and discuss what's going on behind the scenes, you know, or what's the awareness, and bring it. Because we're the animals' only hope to carry on.
Right.
They can't call up on this platform and tell us how they're feeling. And they got to stay out there in all, you know, weather types. Whether it's, you know, sunny, too hot, snow, they're in the snowy states, you know. And it's sad to live like that, homeless. That's
yes.
what they are. I mean, humans don't even like to do that, you know. But so how you think the animals are?
Right.
You know, we got veterans out there living on the street that's fought for our country. That's a no-no. And
yes.
the children and the men and women. That's crazy.
And, you know, through this journey, we've started some projects to address areas where we can see there's a need. We started Fix Finder, which it's fixfinder.org. It's a searchable database website where you can look for spay and neuter clinics that are low cost in your area. You can search by state. And if you have a clinic, please join. Please fill out the information. It's simple to do. Get your clinic listed out there. There's a lot of benefits to doing it. We've also started proactive animal sheltering, which is a focus on spay and neuter. and not the transporting, not managed intake. It's let's do this the right way. Let's get this done, and let's help these animals. So we are also doing, we have T-shirts available right now to celebrate the 100,000 members, because that really never happens in community cat groups, you know, and it's just such a huge milestone. We very seldom do T-shirts or anything, but we decided to do it this time, and the links are on our Facebook pages, Trap, Neuter, Return Community, Trap, Neuter, Return Community, TNR only, and probably the state groups and all that. We have a group for every state so that we can address issues in each state rather than putting them out there for, you know, 127 countries to see. Let's put the information where it can do the most good.
That's right. Wherever it all counts. And Beth, are you ready to take calls? Because
sure.
I got a packed house. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you want to talk or ask Beth any questions or comments, area code 310-982-4270. Press 1, and you'll be in the queue. Okay, just try to refrain from any noises in the background. Or TVs, radios, and you're more than welcome to come on board. Go ahead. Area code 772, you're live and on the air. Go right ahead. Hello? Can you hear me? Hold on a second. Okay, press 1, anybody that's in the queue, because we've got a packed house, to alert me that you want to come on air, okay? 310-982-4270. Press 1 to speak to the guest. Yeah, this is another great show, Beth. I'm so informative and everything, you know. So, yep, it's educational and speaking out for the animals in need, the cats, you know, and they deserve it so much. I'd like to see them all have better lives and futures. And let's make that, because we'll come, yeah, they deserve it.
Well, for me, it was a journey, you know, and I started looking at shelter data and exploring that and trying to figure out what it told us. And then eventually, like 3 to 4 years of doing that, 300 to 400 shelters, I've looked at their data for like 5 years at least. And then it started to show, you know, what was going on, managed intake and all this stuff. So at least, you know, by finding out what's going on, that's the only way you can fix it.
That's right. You have to concentrate on it and fix it, just like everything in our lives. If we have a problem, whatever it is, issues, we go over and fix it, you know, whatever it takes. Sometimes it's stressful, sometimes it's not, but we want to take care of that problem and not let it, you know, keep prevail.
But
right?
You need to understand what the problem is before you can fix it.
There you go.
And that's
yes.
The truth here, too.
That's right. Go to the roots of the problem and work your way up and then work on the solution, you know, so we can't give up. I mean, these cats, they deserve the best. I mean, I know with Mama Cat, the ones she takes care of, I always kid with her. I says, when they see you coming, when these colonies, they give you a standing ovation bringing them food and everything.
You know what? Actually, you know? Shouldn't our communities do that for these people, too? They're feeding cats. They're getting them fixed. They're getting them vaccinated and making the communities better, making their lives better. And why do we attack these people? Why are we not applauding them?
That's right. Yes, agreed. Because they're helping out. You know,
yes.
Give them the credit they, you know, deserve. They're helping. They're showing, hey, I'm a true animal lover. And I don't want to see them starve and run all the streets and some underweight, and you know they deserve better than that. That's like liberty. You know, I looked at it and I was like, how could somebody just abandon a pet. You know, I can't, and they're having a lot of problems in everywhere in the United States right now, and I've been reading all over the internet where because of the vet, you know, the food and the vet bills and the surgeries, they have skyrocketed. And a lot of people are abandoning their pets. So here goes more of a problem. You know, the shelters are overfilling, and then they're you know, euthanizing these pets because of overcrowding. So here's another issue that's got to be worked on, you know.
Yep.
So because who pays the price, the animals, because they have to go in a shelter and probably, you know, the chances are being put down. So this inflation needs to get some control, you know. I'm so sick of dealing with these greed bullies, you know. It's terrible. There's price gouging going on all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was calling, you know, it was the pandemic. Now I'm calling it the scamdemic because now I got to get 10 estimates on everything. And look at, you used to see the price differences on it. And I won't go into list of stuff, but it's like something's got to give here. And now these animals are paying the price, you know, and it seems like, does anybody care? It sure don't seem like it. Okay. So we got to turn around and care about it, you know, bring it to the spotlight, fix it. And so we got all these issues, more issues to deal with because these shelters only handle so many cats and dogs. And they don't care what age it is, you know, and these cross posters and networkers work relentlessly trying to get these animals to safety. They got huge hearts. But it just like the ones that work there, Beth, they should put them on their web, you know, whatever, on their social media sites to help them get adopted,
mm-hmm.
give them a home. Even fostering would help out, you know.
Right.
So anything will help out because this problem is massive. I think I read over one thing. It was like there is 70 million homeless cats in America. Is that true?
Oh, that's, you know, probably true.
Oh, my. 70 million in America?
It's all over the world. It's not just even
Whoa. Here.
Yeah.
It's
all over the world. You know, I've talked to people all over, and it's the same story over and over and over.
Hmm. That is a large, oh my, that's a large quantity there. That's sickening. That is,
yep.
You look at
and
it and
think
whoa.
Most of those aren't even fixed, and how many they're going to reproduce. And then the thing you got to consider now, too, is when there's so many unfixed cats out there, then they're going to inbreed. And then what happens? Now we get sick cats on top of it. Is that the best we can do? Is that how we want to handle our public health? It just makes sense to get them fixed.
That's right.
Support these people who are doing the work.
That's right. And at everybodyfixfinder.org, you know, look it up and help, you know, be a positive impact in this world, not a negative one, do nothing. You know, be an inspiration to these animals. Be their hero, not a zero, a hero, and
yes.
help them out. Because, you know, and make donations, help, because this stuff is not for free. You know, whatever you can afford, hey, $1, $5, $10, and whatever
well,
you
figure
can
on spay and neuter, like for TNR, a lot of the clinics have special pricing of maybe $35, $50. And in some of the bigger cities, it's probably more than that. But even at $35 or $50, it's cheaper than going to a regular vet. But the thing is that the people doing it are paying it out of their own pockets. They don't get donations. They're not a 501c3 IRS nonprofit. You know, they don't get those donations. Individuals, maybe their family donates to them, but that's it. There's just no funding for the people that are doing this work. They're already volunteers. Let's support them for a change.
Agreed, all the way. Support them and help them out. make their lives better, you know, with, bring the negative into the positive. You know, whatever we can do, you know, because these homeless cats, they deserve so much better.
Yes.
So much better. And we're,
and even
we're
in
their
the,
only hope.
The colder climates, you know, you build shelters so they can survive the winters and they have some warmth. And people throw the shelters away. They'll destroy them. Why?
That's true. It doesn't make sense. We got a caller here. Area code 719. I know who this is, Beth.
No, boy.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble now. The mama cat? Meow. What are you doing, mama cat?
Oh, I'm just listening to Beth's wonderful conversation going on here.
Didn't she do great or what? I mean, she is, Beth, you're doing great again. It's awesome, you know?
We need
tell
more people
the,
like Beth.
Yes, we do.
You know, and we
tell
need less
like
people to say, we need less people saying, isn't there someone out there that can help? Yep,
yes,
someone
right.
is you.
That's right. You said it right there.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're called community cats for a reason. The entire community is involved. We all see them. We all know they're there. A lot of us help, but we need more help. You know, and just like Beth is saying, the little person that does the TNR, the people with the feet on the ground, they're not getting paid. You know, unless you can do fundraising or be sponsored by a rescue or a shelter in your area, you have to pay for that out of your pocket or the goodness of other people's hearts helping. And it's sad that that's where we're at. But the big humane societies, the big money-making fundraising places are not helping the people with the feet on the ground. They're just not.
And that's sad. Then they should be. All the money they bring in.
And a lot of them that had grants for TNR, they've taken those back. They don't do them. They support owned animals now rather than unowned animals. So I always call the ones that don't get into the shelter the unchosen ones, because that's what it is. They are unchosen. And there's so many people like us that care about those animals, but we need this discussion to start so that we can find solutions, real solutions, not just putting Band-Aids on these issues and begging for more money so that we can keep doing it over and over and over again. Let's help the animals. Let's put them first.
Right. And now looking at the price of food, I mean, the 100 cats that we feed, you know, the price of cat food is more than doubled, and more of my money that I have has to go to food, you know, and unfortunately that takes away from the TNR, because the money's got to come from somewhere, you know, and they have to eat. So people are having to make those hard choices, and again, more and more people are dumping their animals because they can't afford to feed them, which I don't condone that in any way, shape, or form. But I do understand the price of food. I mean, you know, anybody that has animals knows, you know, what the price of food is nowadays for these animals. And it's just sad because not only do they not have homes, you know, their home is the street, but now the people are having to cut back on their food as well. So it's the poor cats just can't win. The new hashtag, WATC, what about the cat?
Yes.
That's
our new hashtag, right, Beth?
Right.
That's good.
What about the cats?
You know? Yeah.
They have been ignored for so long. So many states have laws in effect, but they relate to dogs. And the cats were, for decades, have been pushed aside. And now we wonder why we have cats everywhere.
You know, the problem is going to get so bad that it's going to turn into Australia. Australia, the cat problem was so severe, you know, that they opened up basically a hunting season on them. And you can go out and shoot as many cats as you want, poison
what?
As many as you want. Yeah, Australia is really bad about it.
A humane society, right?
Yeah.
That is sickening.
But that's what happens when you let the issue get out of hand like that. You know, for all these decades, nobody has done anything about the cats. Kind of out of sight, out of mind. And feral cats are very good at hiding. But I don't know anybody that I've ever run into that can't say they've never seen, you know, a feral cat. Because you do see them, but people turn their, you know, turn a blind eye to it. And, you know, we can't do that anymore. We need to do something.
No.
Something needs to be done. And these animals deserve it. They deserve more than what they're getting, for sure.
That's right.
And when you think about it, we have, you know, corporations that are making all kinds of money off of animals. We have the food manufacturers. We have these private equity groups buying up vet practices and raising prices and kicking out community cat options. And, you know, they're making tons of money. Where's the funding they're putting into helping these animals through spay and neuter? This is a community partnership, and they're part of this community. We all are. So let's start talking about this, and let's figure out how to get this done the right way that'll be sustainable, and it won't be year after year after year of the same thing.
Yep, reruns of everything happening.
Exactly.
And it's terrible.
Exactly.
I mean, how many of us, you know, want to see reruns of everything that's happening? Sooner or later, something's got to give. Enough is enough.
Yeah.
You know, this inflation, something's got to give. Because if it keeps going, we're going to be heading to a big R. That's the recession. And then there's going to be more issues. You know, you try to prevent it from happening, not create it to happen, you know. But anyway, Mama Cat, I got another caller. And you can stay on air, okay? Meow. It's area code 425. And you're live and on air. Thanks for calling Animal Advocates Radio. Go right ahead. You have any comments or questions for the guest, Beth Frank? Go right ahead.
It's Vicki calling in. I'm in Washington, friends with the girls there.
Hi, Vicki.
With Beth and
Frank. Hi, Vicki.
Hello. A couple of comments that I just wanted to make on how dire it is, basically, is that first, you guys forgot there was the whole housing crisis, and that dumped a lot of cats out on their own. Then came the double whammy of the pandemic. Then the fact that there was clinics completely closed for so long, and or there's clinics that still aren't operating at full speed because they don't have the vets, they don't have the vet techs. So you have 2 years at least of all these cats being dropped to the ground in litter after litter after litter. And now they're older, so if you want to save any of them off the streets, there's a lot longer socialization time. And that's one of the reasons why everything is costing more and more, because you have to keep these cats longer. People that do a lot of TNR, the worst thing that can happen is they get bogged down in the, you know, trapping, then the socializing, then the finding homes, the feeding, the getting them to and from the clinics and all that. So one of the first things that needs to be done is, in my opinion, things need to be separated. You need to have a group of people that'll do your fostering. You need a group of people that'll do the driving back and forth to the clinic. They need to separate that a little bit so that those people can continue to do TNR. But you can only do that if your clinics are taking in enough animals. And the other thing I was going to say about the Australia was they even recruited kids and made it more like a game. And that was just the most disgusting part of all to me, because here we're trying to teach kids to love these animals and to come on board and to learn how to do this. And that's the, you know, that's what the opposite of what they did, which was pretty mad. And then the maddening thing, too, is that in all this money that all these rescuers across the world are putting into trying to save these cats is saving shelters a lot of money. And Beth is always talking about this because it's just not right that they don't have some sort of, you know, help, like many more low-cost spay-neuter clinics and such. And when we are in our groups looking and talking to people, such a huge difference in the cost. You get free spay-neuter, and you have $350 spay-neuter. You know, it runs the gamut, and so it's like whatever they want to charge is what some of these people in small towns that have no options have to put up with. So they can only do a few cats probably in a year, practically.
And you have to take them to, like, the private vets, and they want to do the blood work and everything before they will even do spay and neuter. So that really hurts.
Yep, I agree. So I don't need to paint a bad picture, but we have to look at it realistically so we know what we're starting with and then start chipping away at things we can do to improve it and what are we going to get the most bang for our buck. That's my thought.
My grandson lives in Sholo, Arizona, and he had a bunch of cats that showed up on his property, so of course he called Grandma. And I got a hold of some lady, and she was telling me that their vets are requiring, the private vets, are requiring all ferals to have a health certificate in order to be returned to field. So they bring them in, and they have to pay extra to get this complete checkup of these feral cats. And if they're not fit, according to I don't know whose rules, that they're not able to be returned to field or brought back where they came from, and they euthanize them. So it's stopping people from bringing the cats in. You know, would you bring a cat in not knowing? I sure wouldn't, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. A lot of these high-volume, high-quality clinics have come around pretty quickly and are quite a ways back. You know, at least 7 years ago, where they stopped doing a lot of that expensive stuff. They stopped testing all the cats because they were finding, at least at the clinic that I've volunteered at, they find that, you know, there's maybe 1-3% of all the cats that would test positive for feline leukemia and whatnot. And, you know, testing the kittens, of course, you get a lot of negatives, positives that are actually negatives as they grow older. Right. But so you can save costs, but the regular vets just don't look at it the same way. On the other hand, we're lucky that the regular vets allow these spay and neuter clinics, because that was always a big to-do back in the older days, that they felt that that was their bread and butter being taken away from them.
Yeah.
So somebody's in it for the money and somebody's in it for the cash.
Correct.
Yep.
That's
true.
There's too many people making money off of these animals, and it's not benefiting the animals. I mean, look at a public shelter. The funding they get is from taxpayers. The first biggest portion goes to salaries and benefits, and that's probably about 60% from what I've looked at. Then you have overhead. And then you have money for the animals. Think of how much that is. On a dollar, that's probably 20 cents. If
20
that.
Cents, yep. That's what I was thinking.
Mm.
That's ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
And
it's greed again.
And we, the people with the foot on the ground, they're doing all the work.
Right.
You know, they're trapping them. They're collecting them. They're storing these animals to recover. They're putting them back, building them homes, feeding them every day. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it that, you know, the trappers and whoever, they get no credit for that. Well, they do get some, but you know what I mean? It's just getting too hard.
And down in Miami, Florida, they actually pay, the shelter pays, I think it's like $15 a cat for every cat you trap, bring in, get it fixed, and return. So they're paying the community to be active in this, and they're getting more cats fixed that way. And for $15, it's really cheap.
Oh, yeah. And that's a good idea, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a good idea. I wish more would do that, you know, to help them out.
I would like to see more people train other people that have never done trapping to how to just help them do their cats in their own backyard. Because every time you teach somebody that, then they in turn teach somebody else down the road, a neighbor or something that funnels the cats into getting the help. And that's one way that I would attack this.
Yeah. Human chain reaction to take action, you know,
right.
Train them and help out.
You got to get more people because so many people of the people that are doing this are getting older now, you know, from the time that everybody started doing it, that a lot of people are aging out of, at least in my area, that are doing trap, neuter, release. And so without teaching people to take over, it's going to be really difficult. You got to do that.
That's right. You have to because the generation's coming up. You know, animals is not even born yet. So it's a good thing to do that, Vicki. And ladies, we are down to like 3 minutes here. Vicki, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
You feel free to call in anytime. I stand on this radio platform. I stand up for all animals in need and distress, covering a lot of them. Mama Cat, thank you for all your support, your continuous support, my tag team. And Beth, I'm looking forward to having you back on in 2024. How's that?
That sounds good.
Yeah, and what another great show this evening, ladies. I mean, we got to keep going, get our voices out there. We are strength in numbers. That's so true. I love that. Or power numbers. The more of us that come together, the stronger and better we become. But anyway, Beth, thank you for, like I said, thank you for another great show. Mama Cat, and thank you so much, all your support. She's a former guest, too. And but next week, next Thursday, everyone, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. I'm going to have Eric Salvamina on from All About Animals Radio host, and we're going to be rocking the airways together, these two hosts there, for the animals in need and distress, okay? So it's going to be put on YouTube when I'm on their interview the 24th of this month, but I will be posting it all over if you want to join, if you haven't already, Voices Carry for Animals support group on Facebook, and on my page you can follow me. It's going to be listed, you know, everywhere. So love your support and everything. So, and listening worldwide, and the number to call in every week is 310-982-4270. You'll be in the queue. Press 1 if you want to speak to the guest with any comments or questions. All shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio or the PPJ Gazette Online. But I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening. And let's help, you know, out whatever you can do to help these community cats to have a better lives and futures, because their lives matter too. And not to look the other way or, you know, ignore them. So let's just see a better, you know, a better world for them to live in and not this one that they're currently living in. Okay, so I'm going to give it to Paul. Hey, Mama Cat, Mama Bear's looking for you. Okay, Paul in hand. Go ahead.
United we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you, Beth. Meow. And a big shout out to a good friend of mine, Dave Thomas. He's listening tonight. And my mother, Patricia, or aka Moose. Thanks, Mom. Beautiful woman inside and out. Hi, Moose. But thank you, everyone. Have a nice and peaceful evening. May God bless you all. Good night. Thank you.
Night.
Bye-bye.